Let us pray. Almighty God, in your providence, you chose your servant Patrick to be the apostle of the Irish people, to bring those who were wandering in darkness and error to the true light and knowledge of your word. Grant that walking in that light, we may come at last to the light of everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And all God's people said,
Amen. Amen.
Tim Stafford shares a story about the baptism of King Angus by St. Patrick. Sometime during the baptismal rite, Patrick leaned on his sharp pointed staff and inadvertently stabbed the king in the foot. When the baptism was over, Patrick looked down and he saw a substantial amount of blood. And realizing what he had done, he begged the king's forgiveness. Why did you suffer this pain in silence? The saint wanted to know. And the king replied, What? I thought it was part of the ritual. Happy St. Patrick's Day, my friends. May the luck of the Irish be with you. And may the blessing of God go with you. Today is such a joy for us because we get to peek into the life of Patrick and see how the Lord was glorified in his life. And I brought out my icon that was given to me many, many, many years ago because of my great love of Patrick and his ministry. He was a church planter. I am a church planter. He was a culture bringer and a culture shaper. I try to do that too. And he lived a life completely abandoned to God. I'm stumbling at that. But my hope is that I can also follow in his footsteps. My brothers and sisters, I look at this work of art and give thanks to the Lord, for you and I are all a part of the great cloud of witnesses. Amen?
Amen.
Those who have gone before us are cheering us on to complete the race of faith. And Patrick's life is inspiring, it's challenging, and it's extremely hopeful. I repeatedly remind myself of God's grace, of God's call, and God's power that was so evident in Patrick's life. And I pray that when people look to me and see through my life, that they see the glory of the risen Jesus Christ. And that's my hope for each of you as well. For each of us are living icons. And our prayer should be that people see through us and they see the Lord Jesus and that God Almighty is given the glory. Amen?
Amen.
Now, a life completely abandoned to God, what on earth does that mean? It means that Jesus is our all in all. And we live every single day yielding our lives to the purposes and to the plans of God. And we can only do this in his mighty power by the Holy Spirit. For have you ever noticed that God calls you and me to things that are way bigger than us? He calls Peter to go to the house of the Gentile Cornelius, something any good Jew would not do. Yet God had bigger plans. He calls Paul to suffer for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the very one whom Paul was persecuting. Yet God had bigger plans. What does Athens have to do with Jerusalem? Well, the Apostle Paul could tell you. Because taking the gospel to the four corners of the world cost him his life. And Paul's life was a life completely abandoned to God. The Lord called me to be his priest. These were his words. That's how he called me. And at the time, I had no idea just exactly what that would entail. He had called me into something much bigger than myself. And I continually must abandon myself to him, and I'm still learning how to do it. But I thank God for the lives of the saints, that I can have heroes that I look to for inspiration, who inspire me, who challenge me to fight the good fight, and to finish the race. This morning, let us look at a life completely abandoned to God. Let us celebrate the Lord and what he did through a life of a man called Patrick. Now, to get a better picture of the story of Patrick, we must discern the man from the legend. Patrick did not drive the snakes from Ireland. Nor did he see a shamrock and attempt to teach the mystery of the Trinity to the Irish people. Because as the guys from Lutheran satire remind us all, that's modalism, Patrick. A heresy. But Patrick lived in the 5th century, a time when the Roman Empire was breaking up and Europe entered into the Dark Ages. He was born as Patricius in Roman Britain to a wealthy family. In fact, the area he was actually from is today northwest of Glasgow, Scotland. So he's one of my people. Yet even though his grandfather was a priest and his father believed in the Lord, Patrick, it is said, renounced the faith of his family. In his own words, he wrote that at this time he knew not the true God. But in the year 405, at the age of 16, Patrick was captured by raiders and entered a life of slavery in Ireland. He became the property of an Irish warlord and was subject to be a shepherd for the sheep of his new master. But while shepherding the flock, knowing both heat and cold, being half naked and starving, he called upon the name of the Lord. And for the 6 years he was a slave, he prayed without ceasing. He prayed, crying out to the God of his fathers. And in a dream, God reveals to him a way of escape, a way of freedom, a way home. He gets a word from the Lord saying, "Your ship awaits you." The ship wasn't anywhere close to him. Patrick had to walk some 200 miles to get to that boat. He eventually makes his way home. Then he studies to become a priest. You see, God has gotten a hold of his heart. God has gotten a hold of his life. But then God calls once more. He comes knocking on the door of Patrick's heart. And here is something that is quite astounding. Like Paul, who had the Macedonian call, Patrick has something similar. He dreams, again, the Irish people crying out, saying, "We appeal to you to come and walk among us once more." Now, I don't know about you, but my first reaction would be something like this. "You want me to do what? To go back there? Are you kidding? Are you nuts?" But eventually, Patrick returns to Ireland. And when he returns, he's not a young man. He's somewhere in his mid-40s. And he returns to the land of his captivity, and he finds that someone has already come to till up the hard soil of the Irish culture with the gospel message. That missionary's name was Palladius. How many of you have heard of him? We got one or two. Nice. Palladius is not well known. He did not have what we would call a successful ministry by North American church standards. But he did have a faithful one. He did remove the rock and the rubble to make a clear path for Patrick. We don't remember Palladius that well, but we remember Patrick. For when Patrick arrives, his mission strategy was to focus on the Irish chieftains, then the clans of the chieftains. You see, Patrick understood the culture. And you can only truly understand the culture unless you live in it. As Christians, we are to be in the world, but not of it. We're to be in the culture, but not of the culture. Too often, today, believers can forget that we are to be in the world. Because sometimes Christians want to be isolated on their own little islands. But we are an apostolic people. We are a sent people. Father, send us out to live lives completely abandoned to you. Amen? You see, Patrick got this. He got it. He engaged the culture of pagan Ireland. And wherever he went, he brought the culture of the kingdom. Wherever he went, the culture of the city of God and the city of man collided. Patrick was also a bishop. He oversaw the founding of churches, schools, and hospitals. He was not just a culture bringer, but he shaped culture. He loved his enemies. How much did he love them? He loved them all the way. He loved them so much that so many of them became his brothers and his sisters in the Lord. He did good to those who persecuted him. And his love went even so far and so deep that he eventually died there in his new adopted country of Ireland on March the 17th, which is today. He had lived a life abandoned to God. But when we look out these windows, my friends, we don't see Patrick's Ireland of green. We see the limestone terrain of the Texas Hill Country. And you and I were born for such a time as this, when we've been placed in the seventh biggest city in the U.S. of A. And what our local culture needs are culture bringers and culture shapers. For like Patrick, wherever you and I go, whether it be to HEB to buy some groceries, whether it be to the gym to work out, if that's your thing, or walking our dogs in our neighborhood, we are culture bringers. Wherever we go, the kingdom goes with us. This is but one reason why we pray in the Lord's Prayer, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Why do we pray it if we don't believe it? We are culture bringers, my friends, every single one of us. As culture bringers, we are to engage with the culture in the world. We are not to shrink from this, for we are the sent people, and we are to follow Patrick's example and so many like him who have gone before us. We are to live lives abandoned to God. But as culture bringers, we are also culture shapers, meaning we are to call out and confront in the city of man what is clearly not acceptable in the city of God. First and foremost, we are citizens of heaven. Citizens of heaven. And our primary allegiance is to Almighty God, who is our King, and to his unshakable kingdom. Right now, within our culture, there are so many things that are contrary to the kingdom of heaven. And the local culture needs our voices. The local culture needs our examples. For the people of God, you and I should live counterculturally from the city of man. Whereas everyone is out there living for themselves with the mentality of eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die, we are to exemplify humility, servanthood, the cross, and resurrection. We are to live lives abandoned to God. Lives that when people see them, they see something more. Lives that shine in the darkness and show the kingdom of our God. Remember, each of us is a living icon. We are just windows through which people are to look through and see who? Jesus. A life completely abandoned to God will bring the culture of the kingdom wherever it goes. Wherever it goes. It will also shape the local culture towards the city of God. May our Lord give us hearts that long to live in this manner. Hearts like Patrick, who knew the Lord and who answered his call, who said, "I will go. I will go back to the very people that enslaved me. I will go back to the people that put me out to the harsh elements of the weather. I will go back for the sake of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I will go." May we have hearts like Patrick and so many other people that we can look to for inspiration. Hearts that are lives that are poured out like drink offerings before the Lord. Is your life like that? Is it a chalice poured out before the Lord? Will you go if he calls you? Newsflash, he has called you. I know, because I read the Bible. What practices, what rhythms, what routines are these lives of abandon to take? Firstly, what we see in the example of Patrick is that his life was one of prayer. You see, in his years of slavery, he leaned into the Lord. And the prayer attributed to him what people call Patrick's breastplate, really reveals what our prayer life should be as culture bringers and culture shapers. Christ be with me. Christ within me. Christ behind me. Christ before me. Christ to comfort and restore me. Christ beneath me. Christ above me. Christ in quiet. Christ in danger. Christ in hearts of all that love me. Christ in mouth. A friend and stranger. A life abandoned to God is a life that practices the presence of God in prayer. In prayer. Pray without ceasing. Pray when you rise up and when you lie down. Praise when you drink your coffee. Pray when you're in your morning commute. Pray at mealtimes. Pray in the shower. Pray in the garden. Pray when there's silence. Pray when there's a cacophony with little kids running around everywhere. God knows we need to pray at times like that. Pray when you're on the move. Pray when you're in a quiet place. Pray on all occasions. Pray that Christ be with you, as Patrick's breastplate puts it, as you bring the culture of the kingdom wherever you go, and you shape the local culture around you. Secondly, a life abandoned to God is a life lived in generosity. Patrick gave his time, indeed his very life. He poured it out for the glory of God and for the sake of others. He gave his money. He gave his spiritual gifts. He gave and gave and gave and gave. How countercultural that is to the culture of the world. All the world does is take and take and take and take. It's cutthroat out there, man. Even when people do good in our culture now, it's a publicity moment on social media so they can be affirmed on how totally awesome they are. My friends, we give because Christ first gave himself for us. And that reveals to us how much he loves us. We can't outgive the Lord, but we can follow the Lord's example. And we can follow the example of the saints that have gone before us. For the Lord always gives of himself, and he gives more of himself than we can ever possibly know. But we're not living for man's praise. We're living for these words. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Say that with me. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Do you live for that? Do you live for that? Because in the end, that's all that really matters. The generous life is proof of true conversion, and it is so otherworldly, so countercultural than what we experience in the culture in the city of man. We are to live generous lives. Thirdly, a life abandoned to God is a life that perseveres. Patrick suffered. Paul suffered. All the people that we read about in Scripture suffered. You too will suffer. Paul labored. Patrick labored. All the saints that we were impacted by, that have gone before us, labored. Patrick traveled. Patrick studied. Paul traveled. Paul studied. All our saints that have gone before us, they crossed all sorts of boundaries, personal, literal, cultural, and they were persecuted. With Patrick, false accusations were made against him, but he persevered, and he finished the race that was set before him, like so many of our heroes of the faith. And my friends, many begin the race, but few finish it. Many begin on fire, and then they fizzle out. Stay disciplined. Be focused, for this life is only temporary. It's only kindergarten for what is coming. Kindergarten's important, but it's not the end. The prize is ever before us, and a life abandoned to God has set its heart on the finish line. Run the race. Persevere. You know, life abandoned to God is not just meant to be lived out among the world. It is also to be lived out in the community of the local church. And Houston, here we have a problem. For just this week, an article was published advocating that North American church culture has changed so much that the digital church is considered legit for the future. You don't have to physically go anywhere anymore. You don't have to leave the convenience of your own home. You can go to church in your underwear. You can consume your favorite preacher here and your favorite type of music there. You don't have to deal with the strange quirks of people. You can just interact with them, if you want to, through the touch of a screen, at a distance. You don't need to give your time or your gifts. Do you see where this is heading? It's the convenience of consumerism. It's the opposite of incarnation. And let me give it to you straight here. Digital community is a cheap substitute for the real thing. And you can't digitalize Holy Communion either. Here, let me just give you this. Oh, you can't get through the screen with that? My brothers and sisters, a life abandoned to God realizes the importance of the local church. And I talk about this all the time. Yes, you have a relationship with the Lord. You have that vertical relationship with the Father through the Son. Yes. And again, I say yes. It's awesome. But the local church is not just about the vertical, it's about the horizontal too. Meaning you can't do community at a distance. You can't. You have to be involved in other people's lives. And if you're not involved in the local church, you're hurting yourself and you're hurting the body of Christ. And I can't put it more bluntly or plainly than that. We need both the vertical and the horizontal, and the local church is supposed to be highly relational. You are called to serve, not to consume. You are called to be known, not be a number. You are called to be a disciple and not a fan. Yes, we need revival all across this nation of ours. For we have become like the church of Laodicea, lukewarm, neither hot nor cold. Lukewarm. How I wish that God's people would be hot. How I wish that they truly fathomed the weight of being culture bringers and culture shapers like Patrick. But revival must begin here with us, not somewhere out there. Here with us. Do we live lives of prayer? Do we live lives of generosity? Do we live lives that are persevering? By God's grace, may we each live a life abandoned to God, like Patrick and so many countless saints that have gone before us. And when people look through us, may they see the Lord Jesus. Let's pray. Almighty God, whose will it is to be glorified in all your saints, your Son Jesus Christ has sent us into all the world to make disciples of his kingdom. Confirm us in this mission and help us to live the good news we proclaim through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.